It isn't Ma Perkins, kiddies.
The Fred Allen Show, with Fred's guests Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. And the biggest court trial of the year, Charlie McCarthy versus Fred Allen. Portland Hopper, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And for those who weren't at my christening, my name is Kenny Delmar.
Well, this past week, the National Federation of Business and Professional Women's Clubs met to discuss the problem of post-war jobs for women. And so our question is, how do you think women will fit into the post-war business world?
Shall we go?
As one headache said to the other headache, let's take a powder. It's so quiet and restful here in Allen's Alley, Portland. But I can put a stop to that just by knocking on the senator's door.
Somebody, I say, somebody knock. Claghorn's the name, Senator Claghorn.
I know that. I'm
from the South, way down south.
Every week.
Where I come from, when we say cotton, we don't mean no movie actor.
Now, wait a minute. Look.
Look, don't butt in, son. Well, stop blabbing.
I'm not trying to...
Keep interrupting. Try listening.
Well,
I mean.
If I could only get a word.
Don't give me no Gettysburg address, son.
Now, look. Senator, slow down a minute, if you will, please. You've only two more years in office. What is your opinion... What is your opinion of women in the post-war business world?
It's got us worried, son. Senator Glass is all broken up.
Well, then you...
Glass is broken. That's a joke, son. That's witty.
Well, I know it's witty.
That's real Southern humor.
I sensed that it was real Southern humor. I'll go down there and enjoy it some week.
You ain't very quick, are you?
Oh, now, look. Senator, what do you, as man to man, or as man to what I am, what do you think... about women going into business?
I say let them go into business.
Fine.
Women can be politicians. Women can be bartenders.
Good, good.
Bartenders, that is.
Yes.
A woman can even be president.
Good.
But there's one thing a woman can never be, son.
A woman can never be?
The father of our country.
The senator has an answer for everything, even before you ask him. Say, I wonder if Titus Moody is in tonight.
Howdy, Bob.
Well, Mr. Moody, how do you feel about women working?
Oh, some women overdo it, Bob.
Overdo the working? You're speaking from experience?
Yeah. For 20 years, my wife's been raising chickens.
And she's overdoing it?
She's in the hen house morning, noon, and night.
I see.
One morning, the rooster was sick.
Yes?
My wife got up and crowed, so the hens would know the sun was coming up.
Well, that is overdoing it, isn't it?
Last week, my setting hen got a dizzy spell and fell off the nest.
Yes?
My wife sat on the nest day and night till this morning.
What happened?
Have a cigar, Bub?
A cigar?
I'm a pupper.
A pupper, hey?
10 of the prettiest Plymouth Rocks I ever seen.
Go on, Seth. Well, Mr. Moody owes me 9 cigars. Well, here we are at the last house in the alley. I wonder if anyone's home here tonight.
Oh, it's you again.
Ah, McGee and McGee, our songwriters. What's new, boys?
We got a great mother song. It's a sensation.
What is your mother song called?
You remind me of my mother because you are my mother. Mother, oh, mother of mine.
Now, wait a minute. You ought to write something for the senator, boys, when you get a chance. Look, fellas, tonight I'm down here in Allen's Alley getting reactions to women working.
We got just the song you want.
About women working, how does it go?
Hit it, Jim.
My grandma's working on the railroad.
My mother drives a hack, drives a hack. My sisters help her to a sand hog. My aunt's a steeplejack, a steeplejack. My mother-in-law is now a bookie. But you won't hear me stop, 'cause I'll be leading the life of Riley when I get my wife a job.
Maestro Al Goodman has just made a first payment on I'll Buy That Dream. It was hardly worth his while going to sleep to get so little music.
Mr. Allen.
Yes, Portland.
Did Charlie McCarthy sue you last week?
Did he sue me? Yes, Portland. My trial was bigger than the Dreyfus case. Dreyfus was there and told me himself through an old interpreter.
What happened?
Well, last Sunday, as you remember, Charlie McCarthy's lawyer served me with a subpoena. I got down to the courtroom even before the judge. And as I came in, I saw a mob of reporters around McCarthy. The reporters were saying...
How you handle the problem?
Of course,
what time is going, Alan Ford?
Gentlemen, please, one at a time.
One statement, Mr. McCarthy, please.
Yeah, well, just tell the world I'm a poor, defenseless lad looking to the court for justice. Not that, eh, Burger? Not that. Poor, defenseless lad. There won't be a dry eye in the joint here.
So isn't this Fred Allen coming?
Yeah, that's the swindler. I'll habeas his corpus. I'll mow him down.
Now, close that knothole you're talking through, yeah. McCarthy, or I'll pull your arms off and use them for chopsticks.
Go peddle your margarine, baggy thing.
Now, quiet.
Yeah.
If I give you a hot throat from the knees down, you'll be charcoal.
Your father's mustache.
Yeah, your father's mustache.
Quiet. The judge is coming into court.
Hear ye. The court will rise. His Honor, Judge McEaster.
Order in the court. What's the first case?
Charlie McCarthy versus Fred Allen.
Yeah, let's get going. What's the charge?
The plaintiff McCarthy claims that after he auditioned, the defendant Allen took the show alone, thereby swindling, mulking, bilking, and diddling said plaintiff out of his rightful share of the profit.
The plaintiff
is suing for damage. He alleges that...
I've heard enough. McCarthy, take the stand.
Yes, Your Honor.
Are you the plaintiff?
Yes, Your Honor. I'm Charlie McCarthy.
Why, you're only a little kid.
Yes, Your Honor. I'm just a poor defenseless lad looking to the court for justice. How am I doing, Bergen?
Great.
Is the defendant in court?
That's the skunk over there, Your
Honor.
Now,
who's a skunk? Why, you woodpecker's hors d'oeuvre?
Your father's goatee.
Your mother's sideburn.
What do you think this is, a longshoreman's meeting?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. This big bully frightened me.
Your Honor?
Shut up, you. You ought to be ashamed of yourself chiseling this poor, innocent kid out of his money.
Your Honor, I...
Quiet! You're guilty, Ellen.
Guilty? You haven't even tried the case yet.
Oh, yeah? It'll only take a minute, wise guy. Hey, kid, what happened?
Well... He gave me the Cornish hug.
Why, that dirty sneak thief.
Yes.
Have you got any witnesses, kid?
Yes, Your Honor. Ray Noble.
Ray Noble in court?
Yes, here I jolly well am, and all that sort of judicial nonsense, you know.
Mr. Noble, where were you on the night of October 21st?
Well, frankly, I don't recall, old prune.
Ah.
But while I have the floor, I would like to say a few words about continuing lend lease. Now...
I object. Pipe down. Proceed, kid.
Ray?
Yes, Charlie.
Remember the night this sneak Allen came over to our program?
Do I?
Yeah.
Why, that was the night I took out that debutante I met at the automat.
Yeah.
Yes, we made a night of it.
Yeah.
Liggets, you know, till all hours. And then a minuet or two at Roseland.
Yeah.
And then we topped it off with a ride through Central Park at dawn. Charlie, I put my arms around her.
I object.
Amazing. That's exactly what she did, old bun. I don't know why.
Good work, Ray. Good work.
Yeah, are you through with the witness, McCarthy?
Yes, Your Honor. You're a witness, Alan.
Good. Now, Mr. Noble, isn't it true...
Next witness.
Next witness. I haven't even had a chance.
One more blab and I'll throw you in the clink.
I'm being railroaded.
Why, you, if I had something on under this robe, I'd take it off and come down there.
I dare you to.
Quiet. I got a good mind to try putting me gravel in your mouth for size. Next witness.
I guess that's me, Mr. Bergen.
Yes, Mortimer, that's you.
What's your name?
Well, it's, the name is, it sort of caught me off my guard, all right? Mortimer Snurd, yeah.
Yeah, raise your right hand.
Yeah, the right hand, right hand. Which is raise your hand? Well, point it out and I'll raise it.
All right.
You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
No, sir. No, Mortimer. Nobody's going to trap me.
I object. Yeah. Your Honor, may I ask this witness just one question?
Well, do you think you can handle him, Snurd?
Let me at him, Judge. He's my meat.
Mortimer Snurd, isn't it a fact that you are unfit to testify?
Well, I don't know.
Isn't it common knowledge that you are a chowderhead?
No.
A moron junior grade? And a dehydrated nincompoop?
Hey, Mr. Bergen, yeah, he's got me cornered, hasn't he?
Judge, if this is a trial...
Quiet, pest. Stand down, Snurd.
Oh, I did the best I could, Mr. Bergen. Yes, I know. He was just too quick for me. Just...
nice going, Snurd. This testimony's been pretty damaging, Alan. Before I sentence this fink, Mr. McCarthy, how about you summing up just for the record?
Well, Your Honor, my story is the oft-told tale. The innocent youth led astray by the honeyed words of a chiseling lowlife.
I object! Objection ignored! Proceed, kid.
Thank you. I was happy. I had a kind friend in Mr. Bergen. And then this snake, this dirty...
I object! Yes. Save your breath, Alan. Yes. Pour it on, kid. Yes.
I arranged for us to meet a sponsor, and then this
And
guy.
Then, Your Honor, and then we auditioned. Yeah. The sponsor said that this talking stump had absolutely no talent. So, naturally, I got the job.
Quiet, Alan, quiet. You got him in the hot seat, kid. Turn on the juice.
Yeah. Humiliated, broken in spirits, I went back to my first and only friend, Mr. Bergen.
Dear Charlie...
Dear Edgar.
Oh, this is ridiculous. I object.
Order in the court. What damages are you asking, McCarthy?
Well, I was swindled out of the program.
Yeah?
And I was libeled and slandered.
Yeah?
My reputation was damaged beyond words and beyond repair.
How much do you want, kid?
Well, would $14 be too much, Your Honor?
$14? You got this jerk over a barrel. Make it a round number, $200.
Yeah. $200? Benedict Arnold got a fairer trial than this.
Order in the court. Alan, I'm finding you guilty. I'm awarding the kid $200.
But, Your Honor...
Yeah, 200 smackers, meathead. Get it up. Get it up.
But, Judge, before you stands no hardened criminal, I have no record. As a boy in Boston, my father was known as Honest Fred. I was Honest Fred II.
Honest Fred? And you say you come from Boston?
Yes, Your Honor.
Are you the little Fred Allen who used to live in the stable back of Paul Revere's house?
Yes, Judge McKeister.
Honest Fred, don't you recognize me?
No, Judge.
Wait, I'll take me to pay off. There. You know me now?
Pinhead McKeister.
Hiya, Freddy, old boy.
Gosh, Pinhead, you a judge?
Yeah, ain't it a laugh?
Pinhead McKeister.
Yeah, say, Fred, about that money I still owe
you. Oh, forget it, Pinhead. What's mine is yours.
Gee, Fred, you're okay.
Your Honor,
I... Shut up, you little runt. You know, one more outburst out of you, and I'll have you sawed up into dominoes.
Don't look
don't know, Bergen, but something happened to that 200 bucks, I'm afraid.
Judge, I have important evidence.
Your Honor, I've been thinking perhaps this whole suit was too hasty. Let's forget the whole thing.
No, he can't, Your Honor. He can't drop this case.
Oh?
I have a paper here, Judge.
Oh, Fred, let bygones be bygones. Now, come on, all together, huh? Should all acquaintance...
Quiet! Go ahead, honest Fred.
I will prove, Your Honor. I will prove, Your Honor, that Charlie McCarthy is not a poor, defenseless lad. Charlie McCarthy is the most dangerous mind in America today.
Should all acquaintance...
Quiet! Quiet! Mr. Bergen, did you know McCarthy was plotting a campaign to dominate the entire radio industry?
Not little old me, no, sir.
Yes, little old subversive you. You don't know, Charlie McCarthy, that I found this document with your nefarious plan in your dressing room.
Give me that paper, Charlie.
Should all acquaintance...
Quiet! Quiet. Listen to this, Edgar. And I quote from Charlie McCarthy's secret white paper here. The Charlie McCarthy Radio Empire.
Should all acquaintance be better?
Quiet, you monopolist.
Go ahead, Fred, go ahead.
From there, McCarthy was going to muscle in on the entire radio industry, Edgar. Listen to this lineup of radio shows he had planned. We the McCarthys, young Dr. McCarthy, Charlie's other wife, one man's McCarthy, just plain Charlie, McCarthy faces life, breakfast with Charlie. Edgar, it goes right down the line to news with Gabriel McCarthy.
It's so lovely out. I think I'll take a ramble into Wildwood. Gangway!
Grab him, bailiff. Bring the little crumb here to the Bar of Justice.
Your Honor, the Charlie McCarthy cartel is too big for this court. It's a case for the FBI.
Not a federal rat, fellas. Don't call John Edgar.
A foul, conniving fiend who would take over the entire radio industry, ruthlessly tramping all in his path.
Dear Edgar, dear Mr. Bergen.
Quiet, you monster.
McCarthy, I'm holding you on federal charges of violating the Sherman Antitrust Act, violating the principles of the San Francisco Conference, and conspiring to start another war. No.
Bergen, Alan, mercy, Judge. Mercy.
Yeah, what'll I do with him, honest Fred? Give him life?
Well, I'm not vindictive, Pinhead. Let Mr. Bergen decide his punishment.
Okay. McCarthy, let this be a lesson to you. I'm paroling you into custody of Mr. Bergen. Case dismissed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, thank you.
Now, Charlie, from now on, you're going to think of nothing but your schoolwork.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to respect your elders.
Always, Mr. Bergen.
And you're going to apologize to Mr. Allen.
I apologize to that dirty rat.
Now, why? I'll split you up the middle and make you a clothespin, young man. Your
father's mustache.
Ah, your grandmother's...
No.
Oh, wait a minute. Let him do it. I've got my water wings here. Let him go.